Today we close out week two, looking again at the mysterious Magi. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Finally, after months and months of traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles, maybe even thousands of miles, the wise men found Jesus under the star that they had been following, and it produced great joy. That's what happens when we discover Jesus. That's what happens, as we looked at yesterday, when we let Jesus reign as King. It produces a joy that nothing in the world can compare to. The Magi were willing to make whatever sacrifices were needed to discover who Jesus was. They spent money. They gave up months of their lives. They risked their safety as foreigners to find Jesus. There was no risk too great. They're on a mission from God. J.C. Ryle once said that there is a common worldly Christianity which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is worth nothing. The Magi remind us that following Jesus means we are willing to lay it all down for the King. And what I want to do in ending our time looking at these mysterious men is I want to look at the gift that they laid at the feet of baby Jesus. Look at verse 11. It says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Scripture doesn't tell us, so we don't know for sure if there was symbolism meant from the gifts the Magi gave Jesus. Even the gifts from the Magi are mysterious. But I do believe there's intentionality here. I do believe that these were, in many ways, prophetic gifts. Gold. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Jesus may have come as a baby and would die as a suffering lamb, but he rose again and he will return as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense. Frankincense was used during worship at the temple by the priests. A reminder that Jesus is not only our King, he is our priest. He ministers to us, serving sinners like you and me. No greater act of service, of course, than the cross of Calvary. And today, as we speak, Jesus is our high priest right now. He intercedes, as Hebrews tells us, at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf as we pray. He's our king. He's our priest. What about the myrrh? Myrrh was used in Bible times for burial. And so we are reminded that Jesus was our sacrifice. He was our sacrificial lamb. He took upon himself the wrath of God, the wrath of sin. In our place, on the cross, he paid the price of death. Jesus gave everything to come and save us. And here's the question I want to end with. What are we willing to give to the King? Like the Magi, will we worship him and him alone? Allow nothing else to sit on the throne of our lives? Will we too lay our earthly treasures before him and say, "Time, talents, and treasures, anything I have, King Jesus, is for you and your kingdom"? Perhaps there's something today that you need to give over to the King. Perhaps a sin that you've been holding on to that you need to bring to the cross, to hand over to King so that he might reign and not that sin. Perhaps you've just been struggling with really prioritizing worshiping God at church, getting into his word. Every day is an opportunity for us to give sacrificial gifts to the King like the Magi. Our time, our talents, our treasures. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count. I want to stand someday before the King, the prophet, my sacrificial lamb, and someday present my life, lay my life down as a gift. How about you? Will you let King Jesus reign in your life? And will you lay everything down to the King who brought life to you and to me?